Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with an article from AARP, the magazine, and this is an interview with Linda Ronstadt. Now, in this issue, there is a long article about her, but we're going to start with just this one-page interview. It's titled, A Visit with Linda. The singer and author shares her thoughts on culture, home, and family. It's a breezy Tuesday afternoon in San Francisco, and Linda Ronstadt waits in the living room of the home she shares with her daughter. It's a luminous space. The singer clearly favors soothing colors and the kind of placid energy that fuels creativity. Ronstadt relaxes, barefoot, on a recliner. Her speech and movements show subtle signs of the degenerative illness that forced her to retire from performing in 2009. But the feistiness that propelled her to the top of the male-dominated music scene in the 1970s still thrives, and soon enough Ronstadt, 76, is laughing, analyzing, and reminiscing. The occasion for our meeting is the release of her new book, Feels Like Home, a song for the Sonoran Borderlands. Co-written with journalist Lawrence Downs, the book focuses on the landscape of Ronstadt's childhood in the American Southwest, as well as her Mexican heritage, and the connections between the two countries. There's a specific area of the Sonoran Desert where I grew up that has a border fence in it, but I didn't particularly notice the division, she said. For a cultural icon of her stature, Ronstadt is disarmingly humble, as we discussed her career odyssey, from fronting the folk rock trio, the Stone Ponies, to selling out stadiums on her own, to starring in the Gilbert and Sullivan operetta, to releasing a trilogy of great American songbook albums with former Frank Sinatra arranger Nelson Riddle. And in 1987, Ronstadt returned to her family's roots with the Spanish-language album Canciones de mi Padre, still the biggest-selling non-English-language album in the U.S. I knew these songs because they were on the old records my dad had, said, she recalls. As a child, Ronstadt and her parents and three siblings lived near her grandparents on the last 10 acres of what had been a sprawling cattle ranch. We still lived like ranch owners, with horses and chickens. It was my grandparents' way of life, and it became my way of life, too. Stardom brought a different way of life to Ronstadt, and it didn't particularly suit her, she says now. I didn't like living on the road. It was too lonely, she admits. It makes it hard to keep relationships together. Marriage wasn't in the cards for Ronstadt, but motherhood was. She adopted two infants, whom she purposely kept out of the limelight as they grew up. Mary Clementine, an artist, 31, and Carlos, an IT worker, 28, are a constant source of joy to her, Ronstadt says. It was in 2000 that the singer first experienced symptoms of the disease that would end her career. Her throat would tense up while she was singing. Then she began to lose muscle strength. She was misdiagnosed with Parkinson's disease, and it took years before doctors were able to provide the correct diagnosis, progressive supranuclear palsy, a rare disorder that attacks the part of the brain that governs physical movement. There's no cure for the disease, though treatment can alleviate some of its symptoms. For Ronstadt, the diagnosis has meant a life far more circumscribed than the one she had been planning. The things I expected to be doing at this point in my life, gardening, knitting, traveling for pleasure instead of work, I can't do any of those things now, she says. Still, she adds, the process of writing offered her a chance to travel in a different way, to revisit the places of her past and the beloved people, now gone, whose songs still ring in her memory. Ernesto Lechner writes about music and Latin culture for Rolling Stones and other publications. He also co-hosts the nationally syndicated radio show, The Latin Alternative, and he's the one that conducted this interview with her. Now let's look at some more of another article from the same magazine, Medical Breakthroughs That Are Changing Lives Now. So today we're going to look at cancer. Breakthrough, a blood test that detects early cancers. Joyce Airy's cancer journey began with a shock, but just as surprising was how quickly it ended. Diagnosed with stage 1 Hodgkin's lymphoma, after having an experimental blood test in 2020, she underwent short rounds of chemotherapy and radiation. Now, with no signs of cancer, she's back to cooking for dinner parties and visiting family. "I'm thrilled they found it early," said Aries, 76, a retired real estate broker from Canby, Oregon. Aries' early cancer was discovered with the Galleri Multi-Cancer Early Detection, MCED, test from the healthcare company Grail. Her cancer had no symptoms, said her husband, Richard, 77. Her doctor said it would never have been found at such an early stage without the blood test. Galleri screens for more than 50 different cancers by searching a blood sample for tiny scraps of DNA cast off by cancer cells. While it's not yet approved by the FDA, it can be ordered by your healthcare provider under an FDA provision called laboratory-developed tests. The Galleri test costs $949 and, unfortunately, is not yet covered by most insurance. A second type of MCED test, called One Test, sells for about $189 and looks for 20 or more cancer types. Other MCEDs are in development as cancer researchers and biotech entrepreneurs race to close a lethal gap. There are currently no reliable screening tests for more than 50% of deadly cancers. The earlier the stage, the more confirmed the cancer is, the better the outcomes with chemotherapy, surgery, and radiation, says radiation oncologist Nima Nabavitsada, MD, an associate professor at Oregon Health and Science University, OHSU, and principal investigator of a second stage of the prospective study Aries participated in. Despite that, today we have good screening tests for only a few types of cancer. The promise of early detection through MCEDs has stirred big hopes, but major questions remain. False positives, which also happen with mammograms and other cancer screening tests, can lead to expensive, invasive, and anxiety-provoking procedures, such as biopsies. So can test results that uncover non-threatening, slow-growing cancers that likely need no treatment. The doctor noted that a follow-up study of 20,000 midlife and older adults that he's leading at OHSU will look at an array of issues, such as false positives. Are we picking up cancers even earlier than PET scans or MRIs can find them? Or are they truly false positives? It's still an active area of investigation. OHSU is considering opening a high-risk clinic, he says, to follow patients with puzzling results. Do early detection tests save more lives? The National Cancer Institute has set a goal to launch a study comparing MCED tests within 2 years. Now, the sidebar with this, cancer briefs, rectal cancer advance. In a small Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center clinical trial, whose results have been hailed as unprecedented, tumors so far seem to have disappeared in 14 people with rectal cancer who received the experimental immunotherapy drug dostarlimab without the need for surgery, radiation, or chemotherapy. Researchers say the drug worked because it was carefully matched to people with early-stage tumors that had a specific genetic signature found in about 5 to 10% of rectal cancers. The same genetic marker, which can be detected with currently available tests, is found in some endometrial, gastrointestinal, pancreatic, and prostate cancers as well. And that drug, again, I'll spell it for you, is DOSTARLIMAB. Also, easier prostate biopsies. The FDA cleared Precision Point Transperineal Access System, which takes prostate samples for cancer testing through the skin under local anesthesia in the doctor's office, reduces the need for more invasive biopsies. In studies, the procedure had an infection rate slightly lower than rectal biopsies that had a similar rate of cancer detection. Now let's also look at lung health. Breakthrough: inhaler sensors that monitor your meds. It has a digital inhaler attachment which helps make sure you get the correct dosages. Lisa Hall has landed in the emergency room at least once a year since childhood, gasping for breath with flare-ups of severe asthma and more recently COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, a progressive lung disease. When you can't breathe, it's like a snake squeezing your chest, she says. Last year, she began snapping bottle-cap-sized Bluetooth sensors from Propeller Health onto her medication inhalers and was shocked to discover that she wasn't using some drugs correctly. I wasn't waiting 15 minutes between two medications for COPD, says Hall, 53, a grandmother of six from Sauk Center, Minnesota, or I wouldn't use my inhaler if I couldn't remember whether I already had. Now, she no longer worries about forgetting doses because a smartphone app linked to the sensors keeps track for her. At first, Hall admits she thought the sensors might be just a gimmick, but she has not needed to visit the emergency room even once since she started using the app to monitor her health, she says. Propeller Health's FDA-cleared sensors join a wave of digital inhaler technology available for people with asthma, which affects about 8% of midlife and older adults, and COPD, which is the sixth leading cause of death in the U.S. Nearly a third of older adults currently miss doses on their inhaler schedule, and 74% use their inhalers improperly, according to studies. By helping people stay on track with controller drugs, digital technology could help reduce the need for bigger doses or additional medications, says Rajan Merchant, MD, an asthma, allergy, and clinical immunology specialist at Dignity Health Woodland Medical Center in Woodland, California. In a 2021 study of adults with COPD, researchers found that sensor users needed less rescue medication. A 2018 study of 224 people with asthma found that emergency room visits and hospital stays dropped with sensor use. There are other sensors on the market that offer similar tracking and data sharing, but some are prescription only, such as CapMedic and DigiInhaler or DigiHalers sold for specific asthma medications by Teva Pharmaceuticals. Most require a smartphone for setup, although Propeller has an option that uses an internet-enabled hub that plugs into a wall outlet to track inhaler use and send data to your computer, doctor, and chosen caregivers. Costs range from $80, free from some healthcare providers, to $100 or more. Hall, meanwhile, likes another app feature. It shows local weather and air quality info, warning her about factors that could trigger an asthma flare-up. And the lung health brief here, generic inhaler drug for asthma and COPD. In March 2022, the FDA approved the first generic version of the widely prescribed metered dose inhaler, two-drug combo, Symbicort, a move expected to make it more affordable. The drug, with the generic name Breenia, helps by reducing inflammation and relaxing airways. The name of that drug, again, Breyna. Now, continuing with AARP the magazine, let's look at some real people, veteran stories. We won't get through all of them today, but let's give it a start. Inspiring stories of friends and neighbors in their own words. We're going to start with a high flyer. This is your captain speaking. How commercial pilot Mick Williams learned to be ready for anything. Most passengers don't realize the varied backgrounds of the people in the cockpit. Your pilot might have been a Blue Angel or someone who has spent significant time as a civilian flight instructor or someone who flew experimental aircraft. As for me, I went to Navy flight school after graduating college and then flew FA-18 fighter jets. I saw combat in four different theaters and eventually became a Navy test pilot. The dynamic nature and complexity of those military ops prepared me to be a commercial pilot, but not the way you might expect. The problems we work through are different. Sometimes a mundane decision, like holding a plane for a few extra minutes, can have a huge impact for 10 delayed passengers. I embrace the challenge of navigating turbulence or a line of powerful thunderstorms. For me, that's what I love, being in positions where you're making strategic decisions that have a positive impact on the lives you are responsible for. In the Navy, that pressurized decision-making came into play whenever I landed on an aircraft carrier, or the time I helped a wingman who lost oil pressure over Iraq. On a commercial flight, you don't get too many off-script opportunities. Your job is to provide a safe and predictable flight. But stuff happens, and you can lean into that wisdom of experience. And this was as told to David Hockman by retired Navy Commander Mick Williams, 50, of Fort Collins, Colorado. He now flies for Delta Airlines. And one more, Truth Seeker. The battle for accuracy. Many films distort life in combat. Day'll Die helps Hollywood get soldiers' stories right. After three tours in Vietnam and a total of 20 years of service, I felt adrift when I left the military in 1984. I think every veteran feels that way when he sheds the uniform. You're out of your element. I sat down one night and said to myself, I've got to figure this out. I listed my assets and liabilities. The only common denominator was that I had always been a movie fan, particularly military movies. I think I had seen every one ever made. And I wasn't happy with some of the stuff I had seen. In fact, it pissed me off. What was missing was an insight, a psychological, emotional understanding of who we are as professional military people, what we do, how we think, and react to various situations. That takes training. So I decided I'm going to go out to Hollywood. And the lesson there is that when you're ignorant, you can do a lot of things that people say you can't do. I had no idea how movies were made. I learned to read showbiz publications, and I saw a notice from a writer-director by the name of Oliver Stone, who was going to film a movie based on his experiences as a combat infantryman in Vietnam. I tracked him down and pitched my theory on training actors by breaking them down and building them back up in a military-type setting to help them understand the nature of war. That movie was Platoon, and we won four Academy Awards, including Best Picture and Best Director for Oliver. That was the big break for my consulting business. I have worked on plenty of World War II movies, but I've also done films depicting real battle going back to Alexander the Great. I believe that the basic warrior spirit is essentially the same for all soldiers. I knew that if I kept that in mind and meticulously did my research, then I would be ready to train any outfit, any period, any service. We owe accuracy to our brothers and sisters who served in combat. If we don't adhere to that accuracy, then their story gets shabbily told, partially told, or never told at all. That's a disservice I will not allow. This article was as told to T.J. Cooney and Aaron Castlereagh by Dale Dye, who's now 78. He's a retired Marine captain in Lockhart, Texas, and the founder of the technical advisory firm Warriors, Inc. And along with this article, we have a few items of what the cameras don't show. Behind the scenes on a few of Dye's shoots. Here we have Dye with Tom Hanks in 1997, Saving Private Ryan. Dye staged the Normandy landing on a beach in Ireland with 1,000 Irish Army Reserve soldiers. Band of Brothers. During training at a Royal Air Force parachute school, actors jumped from a 60-foot tower. Tropic Thunder. This comedy is partly based on Dye's experiences with actors during jungle boot camps. The Last of the Mohicans. Dye painted basketballs to stand in for mortar shells. And finally, Born on the 4th of July, using music written and performed by two Vietnam vets, Dye set the mood for the actors. Oh, one more. Starship Troopers. The film is based on a science fiction book by Navy veteran Robert A. Heinlein, which is one of Dye's favorites. Now we're going to look at AARP, the bulletin. The AARP Guide to Modern Problems and Their Solutions. We tapped top pros to take on today's most common health, money, home, and tech issues. We won't get to all of these, but we're going to give them a start. What are the questions and challenges that are vexing you most these days? The editors of the AARP Bulletin gathered up dozens of them, either directly from you or from the professionals we routinely interview. And then we matched to each issue to a pro with both the training and cleverness of mind to give a clear, concise, and viable solution. So here is our gift to our readers. Sensible answers and tips to make your 2023 as problem-free as possible. Let's start with health. No more meat? I know someone who can't eat beef, pork, or lamb because of a tick bite. Could it happen to me? Potentially. There is a carbohydrate called alpha-gal in the saliva of Lone Star ticks, common in the East and South. That is also present in the meat of mammals. A bite from that kind of tick can trigger our immune systems to develop allergic reactions to beef, pork, lamb, gelatin, even dairy products. Alpha-gal syndrome is one of many tick-related health conditions. Lyme disease is the best known. Ticks are prevalent across the U.S. If bitten, use tweezers to gently lift the tick out of your skin. Don't twist or use oil or fire. If concerned, place the tick in a plastic bag and send it to a tick testing center to see if it was carrying dangerous bacteria. Next question. Honey, where are my keys, hat, glasses, mask? I'm constantly searching for my everyday things and I want to stop. Try to establish a single spot where you always keep everyday stuff, such as a bowl on an entryway table. So every time you come in, your wallet, keys, mask, glasses, all that kind of stuff just goes right there in the bowl. Another step, clear out clutter around the most heavily trafficked parts of your house. It's easy to spot things on clean counters. Also, stick with one purse, bag, or wallet for everyday use. Finally, don't stress over occasional bouts of forgetfulness. It's very common. But if it's causing you trouble in a serious way, get checked out by your doctor. Is it long COVID? My spouse is convinced she has it. How can we know? If she had COVID-19 and symptoms have persisted for more than 4 weeks, that's probably long COVID. There is no diagnostic test to identify this. It's based on symptoms and, of course, a history of recent infection. Studies show that as many as 30% of severe COVID infection patients develop it. Among those with mild COVID, the rate is about 13%. The most common symptoms include fatigue, shortness of breath, chest pain, cough, taste or smell issues, or brain fog, all of which can last 3 months or longer. There is no definite drug therapy, and we are still investigating treatments, but rest, pacing her activities, and eating healthfully can help her recover more quickly. Sneezing and wheezing. With each October and April, my symptoms get more intense. Is it just me, or are some seasonal allergies getting worse? It's not just you. Rising CO2 levels and higher temperatures are causing plants to produce pollen for longer periods of the year. As a result, pollen counts are as much as 40% higher than they were in previous decades. I tell my patients they need to be more proactive. Check pollen.com to see if the pollen count is high before heading out. On those days, close the windows and let the AC do the work for you. High-efficiency particulate air, HEPA, filters can reduce airborne allergens. Shower and change your clothes after time outdoors. Saline sinus rinses, nasal sprays, and antihistamines also help. If you can't manage symptoms on your own, talk to your doctor about allergy shots, which can build up your tolerance to allergens like ragweed and dust mites. Now, here's how to save on energy costs. Install motion detectors. These sensors can be connected to lights, fans, or any other electrical device. They'll save energy dollars by automatically turning on the electrical device when you enter a room or area of your property, and then they'll turn the device off when you leave. They can also make your home more secure by turning on exterior lights if there is an intruder. In match pans to burners, for energy-efficient stovetype cooking, be sure to use the burner that most closely matches the diameter of the pot or pan you are missing that you're using. It's a simple way to save around $36 a year if you use an electric range or $18 for a gas stove. Well, folks, our time is up for this episode of Modern Maturity. To be sure and listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.